I've been playing outdoors since I was a kid, standing by the front door at around 2 years old, hollering, "Side, side," trying to get my mom to let me go play outside. Now, after 30-plus years working in the outdoor business, I'm dropping insider conversations every week with brand leaders, guides, marketers, CEOs, and others that make the outdoor business a trillion-dollar juggernaut that drives product innovation, revenue, and public policy for everything outdoors. I'm Rick Sayes. Welcome to the Outdoor Biz Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase. I'm Betty. I'm a flight attendant for a major airline, and I bring you stories from the airplane, from the flight attendants and the pilots, and from traveling around the world. This episode is called A Priest, an Archaeologist, and an Appalachian. Sounds like a joke, doesn't it? It sounds like a priest, an archaeologist, and an Appalachian went into a bar. But it's not a joke. It's actually who I have managed to offend the most in the 2.5 years I've been doing this podcast. You know, luckily, I haven't gotten that many complaint letters, considering all the stories that are told. And my show is mainly about light and fluffy entertainment, but every once in a while, a funny story is going to offend someone. And I apologize because I really can't do a show if I try not to offend anyone at any time. So this episode is all full of stories that just may offend someone because they're about bodily functions and bodily functions on the airplane. I tend to get a lot of stories about this, and a lot of them are really funny, but could just be possibly slightly offensive. So I will also repeat the stories that offended the priest, the archaeologist, and the Appalachian, and the responses I got from them. Okay, let's get going. And I hope it's not too offensive. And if it is, I'm sorry.
I took you for granted. I put it on cruise control. How could I have been such a fool?
On a commuter airline from my hometown up to Portland, Oregon, and flight attendant was pushing the cart, and the way that they had coffee, they had an open coffee cup or open coffee thermos or whatever, and they had just put a foam styrofoam cup on top. And so all of a sudden we hit some turbulence, and the coffee went up into this lady's lap, and she was an elderly lady, probably around 65-70 years old, and so it burnt her. And so all the old lady could say was to the flight attendant, she goes, I think I burnt my vagina. And so this poor woman, so we get on the ground in Portland, and we get on the ground, all these paramedics are there, all young guys, gonna check out this poor woman's burnt vagina when we got on the ground in Portland.
Imagine that. How do you
explain
that?
When nothing else mattered, I made every mistake.
Here's a guy running in on an A7 into the target area.
Okay.
And he's can't hold it any longer. The A7, unlike most of the jets, had a relief tube. Unfortunately, you had to be a little bit better endowed than most people to reach the relief tube. And so this pilot's not carrying what we call a piddle pack, which just fill up when you needed to. And so he decides he's going to try to use the relief tube. He misses the relief tube and fills the seat pan that they're sitting in. There's a cushion on there, but the pan held everything that he missed. And he's thinking, this is okay as long as I keep positive G on the aircraft. It'll stay in the seat pan till I get back. As he rolls in on the target, he realizes he's a little bit tight and he needs to unload a little bit as he's upside down rolling into the target. And as he unloads, everything from the seat pan fills the top of the canopy. At this point, he leaves the negative G on the aircraft and realizes that he can't land this way. At some point, he has to go back to positive G.
I'm sorry, airplanes. That's only one person in the...
There's only one person in the aircraft.
Well, at least that's better. At least there isn't somebody else having that.
No, only one personal shower there. Every mistake I would
have doubted me to. Okay, so you were, you said in Turkey?
Yeah, I was in Turkey. We were flying from Germany down to Turkey to help the Kurds who were starving in northern Iraq. And so we were flying in a C-12, a King Air, and I was flying with a female pilot, and en route, she had some stomach problems, some stomach issues, so she was having to pass gas, and...
In a small confined
area, and it wasn't pleasant smelling, so we had what we call supplemental oxygen, so we had oxygen masks, and so while we're flying down there, she's passing gas... And all she can do is, you know, oh, I'm sorry. And all I could do is, it's okay, under my oxygen mask. And so it was probably the duration of the flight was a good 6-hour flight.
Oh, my gosh.
We had a stop in
between.
Yeah, well, we had a stop in between. But, yeah, it was pretty much the whole time. And when we got on the ground in Turkey, we had a rental car to take us to our hotel downtown, and en route to the hotel, she just pretty much says, "Stop the car!" And her head did like a 360-degree turn, and she was out of the car and trying to find a restroom. And so she was out of circulation for a couple of days due to this tummy issue she had. So
it must be extra embarrassing when you're a girl and the other pilot's a guy.
Well, you figure that... there was one female out of 25 male pilots. So, yeah, extremely embarrassing. So,
it's okay. Yes, I told you things that I truly
believe, but my effort was weak and uninspired. Okay, this is how I offended the priest. I was telling a story, and I prefaced it by saying, I hope I don't offend anyone. I had this story for a long time, happened on my own flight. I hadn't told it because I was afraid it would offend someone, but it's so impressive when somebody is so quick-witted with a punchline. And I was on the plane. We were told that it was Mexico City, Los Angeles, and we were told that we had a prisoner, a child molester, who was being brought back to the United States for prosecution. And he was going to be with two Mexican police officers. So, and I forgot all about it, and we're boarding. I'm doing pre-departure drinks in first class, and I hear another flight attendant get over the PA and say, he's running. And I'm thinking, who's running? And I look out into the aisle, and here comes our prisoner running up the aisle. The other passengers are parting like it's Moses in the Red Sea. And the other two, the police officers, the Mexicans, they were kind of heavy set, so they didn't catch him until he got all the way up to the galley, to the boarding door, and they finally caught him, and they slammed him down on the ground. They had his arm pinned behind his back, and he's, like, convulsing, and I'm standing there with this guy flight attendant, and the guy flight attendant goes, funny, he doesn't look like a priest. Oh, it was funny. I thought it was funny. But who would have thought a priest would listen to my little show? So I get this email, and... it says, you strike me as a very thoughtful and positive person. Just listening to your podcast, I think she'd be fun to know. However, I must tell you that yesterday when I was at the gym listening to Cruz Behaving Badly Part 2, I was hurt and saddened by the child molester story. You see, I am a Catholic priest. I am sure you were only trying to be funny by including that story, but for me, it's always painful when someone would equate what I have given my life to with the abuse of a child. Not all of us are like that. In fact, I'm a former policeman and I've arrested my share of child molesters, and not one of them was a priest. Anyway, I don't mean in any way to cause you any worry over this. I just felt a need to let you know what my reaction was. I know people who are not part of organized religion, especially non-Catholics, these jokes are just harmless fun. But for those of us in the thick of it, these jokes touch our souls, and not in a good way. Oh, I'm so sorry. Really, I really didn't mean to offend any priests out there. I wouldn't have thought any priest would ever be listening.
I'm sorry for everything. I'm sorry. bunch of passengers, of course, on a plane, and they...
there were a bunch of passengers on a plane?
Anyway, this guy got on, and he proceeded to get drunk, and I guess he fell asleep. I don't know. But there was also this lady with a cat on board, and these people, you know, started smelling this smell, and the people thought it was this cat. And so they're blaming it on the cat. And the lady's going, "That's not my cat. My cat's not making that smell. She's just that man. He pooped his pants." Sure enough, this man gets up to walk off the plane, and he's got nuggets falling out of his pants. Did you see? It wasn't my cat. It's that man.
It's not my cat.
Sorry for everything.
Flying with a guy, it's been 15 years ago, I was still a co-pilot, and he was one of those kind of slightly odd guys, and he got a little cranky with me once, and I said, you're getting kind of crotchety I told this guy, yeah, so you're getting kind of crotchety in your near retirement days, and he just looked at me and said, "Son, you don't understand crotchety." He said, "Let me tell you about crotchety. Way back in the day when I was sitting in your seat, we had a guy flying captain, I think he was an ex-Northeast guy. He said, this guy was your really crotchety captain. You could call him by his first name as long as it was captain. And he said, this guy, I was flying with him for a whole month. We flew Electras. This guy flew in full uniform, coat, hat, everything. Never took it off. Always smoked an old nasty stub of a cigar. You know, about half the time it was lit, half the time it wasn't. But he said, one morning we're taking off from Martha's Vineyard in an old, I think it was some kind of Electra. I don't even know which model it was. But he said, they're boarding. And he said, this lady brings on this cat in a cage. And they're trying to find a place to stow it. They can't get it in any overhead bin or anything in the back. And he said, but we got a pretty good size, you know, cargo space behind the captain's seat. So the flight attendant comes up and says, "Hey, Captain, can we stow the cat up here on the flight down to Boston?" And the captain just turned around, looked at her, and says, "If something happens to it, we've got no responsibility." And so they bring it in, they strap it down. It's right behind the captain's seat in this cage. And everything's fine. It's captain's leg, and we're taking off, and he's flying. And he said, just about the time we get to rotation, this cat comes out of the cage and it just latches onto the back of this captain's neck. And he said, I'm over there looking at him like, "Hey, what's gonna happen now?" And he said, this captain doesn't move a muscle. He just keeps flying. This cat's just locked onto the back of his neck. And he said, we get up to about 1,000 feet. The captain goes, takes a cigar, hands it over to me, and says, "Would you hold this?" I take his cigar. He said, he just calmly cranks the window open on his little wind going everywhere. He cranks the window open. So he just said, "Could you take the airplane?" And I take the airplane. He just reaches back and overhead and grabs the cat. Out the window he goes. He calmly cranks the window shut, takes the airplane, takes his cigar, and I'm over there in shock. He said, "What are we going to do now?" He said, we get to about 2,000 feet, and the captain just looks at me and says, "I wonder if he landed on his feet."
A cloud in my head. Was it my head in the clouds?
So on the aircraft, of course, we have all different types of people on the plane. We have all different types of nationalities. And in other countries, if you've done any traveling, you know that there's quite a few places in the world that they don't have the same type of toilet that we have. And when I've been traveling, you know, they have the type of toilet that's got two porcelain feet, basically, and a hole in the middle. And you step on the feet, and you squat, and you go. And, you know, it's really not that bad. This way you don't have to touch anything. But and then in those countries where sometimes they'll have one of our types of toilets to make us feel better, and they'll call it an English toilet. But now, those people that live in those countries, you know, Asia, India, many places where they have this type of toilet, they will get on our airplane. And how that toilet can be unfamiliar to us, the hole in the ground with the 2 feet, our English toilets are unfamiliar to them. So in the aircraft, they'll get on the plane and they'll get in the restroom and probably don't know what to do. And then they go ahead and they get up on our toilet seat with their feet and then squat. I know this because I've seen the footprints on the toilet seats. I have opened the door because the same people that aren't familiar with our toilets usually don't speak our language. They don't understand to lock the door. So you open the door and you see somebody squatting on top the toilet with their feet on the toilet. It's kind of a jarring image. But what's even funnier is when a regular, normal American passenger goes to use the bathroom. They open the door and there's somebody up on the toilet squatting going to the bathroom. I've had this happen maybe 3 times now where the person will come running in the galley going, oh my God, you aren't going to believe what I just saw. And I'll say, there was somebody squatting on top the toilet. And they're like, how do you know? How'd you know that? Like, oh, I've seen it before. I wish I was without a clue.
A buddy of mine was on probation. He's an engineer. And he's flying back to, all he had was one leg back to Salt Lake. Early, early morning go out of New York City. And of course, he's on West Coast time. So his body, it's even earlier. Passengers get on board and he makes a PA to the following effect that, ladies and gentlemen, we're headed off to Salt Lake. And right now the weather's kind of shitty in Salt Lake, but it should be better by the time we get there. Hangs up the PA mic. And all of a sudden, ding, flight attendant calls up and says, you just said shitty on the PA. And he goes, no, I didn't. He said, no, we all talked amongst ourselves and voted. Yes, you did. And he goes, rats. Excuse me, Captain, but I just said shitty on the PA. The captain said, fine. Yeah, you get to say goodbye to the passengers. So he said he stood at the door and said goodbye to all the passengers. And only one passenger said something. The passenger stopped at the door, looked outside, and looked at him and goes, you're right. It's not shitty anymore. And walked on off.
Stupid to be aware. Now for the archaeologist. I was telling the story when I was in Nicaragua, and we were at a place called Ometepe, and it is a huge freshwater lake with two volcanic islands in the middle of it. And I was talking to this local guy, and he said to my friend and I, he said, I'll show you something you'll never see. It's not in any of the guidebooks. And we walk through the forest for like half an hour, and we get to this black sand beach, and my friend and I are thinking, oh, you know, it's okay. It's black sand beach. And then he starts picking things up from the sand, and he's showing us that they're artifacts. They're little pieces of pottery, little pieces of jewelry. And he was saying that they would bury the dead with whatever their valuables were, pottery, jewelry. And because of the huge rains they get there, they would end up getting washed into the lake, and they get churned up in the lake, and then they wash up on shore. And he said they wash up every day. And I was fascinated by this. I mean, I was just like, it's part of the reason why you travel. It's like, who knew there was a beach where artifacts wash up? And he was picking one up, and he's like, see, look, this one has a hole in it. It was probably a piece of jewelry. And he's picking up little pieces of pottery and showing the different designs on them. And I was just amazed, and I picked out a few pieces, and he was like, take the one with the hole in it. You can put a chain through it and make it a necklace. And my friend I'm traveling with was like, what are you kidding me? You can't take that. Didn't you see the Brady Bunch? You know, it's the Brady Bunch where he takes the artifact, and then Greg's surfing, and they say that, you know, he doesn't take it back. It's bad mojo. And she's like, then you don't have to come back to Nicaragua. If you're in Nicaragua, if you have bad luck. That's a funny story. And who would have thought, again, my little show, that an archaeologist would be listening? And he writes, I am an archaeologist, and I want to share something with you from my profession. I was alarmed after listening to your story about finding cultural artifacts on a beach in Nicaragua. No matter how small or insignificant the items you took may have seemed, this sort of thing is a big deal among archaeologists. I may not be able to convince you about the reasons why, but I have to plead with you, please, in your future travels, don't remove those sorts of cultural artifacts from their original context. Especially, don't remove them from the country. It's less a matter of Brady Bunch, Oogie Boogie type retribution than a matter of, one, the law, two, indigenous property rights, cultural resource management, and three, preservation for future scientific research. I'm sorry. I've never taken anything before. I didn't mean to cause any harm. The local guy was saying it washes up every day. There's so much of it. It's really not a big deal to take it. But I won't take anything ever again. I wrote back the archaeologist, you know, I really do travel with that mindset of take only pictures, leave only footprints. It was the one time, and I'm sorry. And again, who would have thought an archaeologist would listen to my show?
Sorry for everything.
Okay, so you're an aircraft mechanic, which is kind of exciting for me since I never have mechanics, all pilots and flight attendants. So you have a story?
Some years ago, we had an airplane with a pressurization leak, and on the ground, the mechanics had to close the plane up completely and pressurize the airplane to look for the leaks. When they finished, they inadvertently forgot to change the pressurization panel back to the automatic mode and closed the plane up with the APU running, which provides air pressure on the ground. And they discovered this problem, that the plane had repressurized same pressure as you would be at altitude, right. Approximately 8 psi pressure inside the cabin. They discovered that they had made this mistake when they were sitting in their break room later that night, and the person that services the lavatories came in covered with sewage, because when he hooked up to the airplane and pulled the handle to dump the lavs, all the pressure in the airplane blew out through the toilet all over him. So this was sort of funny. Not for the laugh guy, but it was kind of funny for the other guys.
Sorry for everything.
I have wheelchair problems. Well, I'm helping this little old lady. She's like in her 70s or 80s. Probably in her 80s. And she's this tiny little thing. She's real cute, right? And I'm helping her up her wheelchair and stuff, and I'm looking at her little feet are shuffling one little half step at a time. And I'm looking down, you know, at her feet, so my feet aren't, you know, getting tangled up with hers. And I'm walking backwards, and I'm having a little conversation with her. And she kind of stops and smiles, and she goes, "You're a nice man." And all that, I'm, "Oh, thank you. That's nice." And I'm... all of a sudden, I'm looking down, I'm, you know, waiting for her to start walking, and I'm like, uh-oh. I go, there's some milk duds. I thought some, you know, there was some candy on the floor or something. And then we start walking, and I go, there's another one. I'm like, they're falling out of her pants.
It was a milk dud.
Yeah, no milk duds. No. And the flight attendant who's following us from the back, you know, because she's waiting to get off the plane. And I'm like, watch the milk duds. And the lady's just smiling. I'm like kicking them out of the way. And it was like the flight attendant in the back and behind her was going, "Oh my God." You know, so,
and now for the harshest one, the Appalachian. I got an email from a European listener saying that there's a funny little joke, and it goes like this, that the pilot gets on the PA and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to land in Appalachia." By the way, I changed it to Appalachia because I was trying to make it a large area so I wouldn't offend any specific city. So I said Appalachia. And "Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to land in Appalachia. We have experienced a time change. You may want to change your watches back 100 years. It was a joke. It's just a joke. And here I get a letter from an Appalachian. This is the harshest one. It says, for all your jokes and stories, you usually either apologize or have a hope this doesn't offend statement or tone of voice. This was lacking in the one joke about Appalachia, which you can't even pronounce. Hope you don't ever need assistance with Southern connections. My friends and I will surely turn our backs on you. Oh, I'm sorry, it was a joke. So we're on our way to Ontario, and this passenger, what was your name, Mr. Frankelmeyer?
Fred. Frederick. Frankelmeyer, yeah.
And you were going to tell me a story about a flight you were on?
Well, you came up to me and you asked if I had any funny stories. So what I wanted to tell you about was I am from New York. We're going out to Palm Springs to visit my son and my daughter-in-law there. But I play a little golf, but anyway, that's not the story. But one time, I used to travel, you know, on business, and we were going, I don't know, something in Alabama, Mississippi, but they brought on a woman, and she had one of those, you know, my wife wants me to get one, but I don't need it, you know, the miracle ear, whatever it's called. Yeah, the hearing aid. And what'd you say? Are they here? Yeah. I thought you asked if I needed a Band-Aid. Anyway, the woman comes on, and her daughter brings her on and says to the, not the stewardess, but the man stewardess, the steward, asked him, should we turn the hearing aid off or down or whatever? And he says, why? Now, my wife and I are watching all this. We're sitting right by her row. And we're thinking, geez, this is a stupid person. But anyway, he says, well, if you want to turn it down, you mean because of the engines? And she says, yeah, because of the engines. You don't have to, but if you want. So she turns it down. The next thing you know, she's talking very loud, screaming. It's horrible. You can't concentrate anything. We're getting ready to take off, and there were two of them, stewards, you know, coming through. Yeah. And, you know, what people do is their business. I don't care. But she stops them and pulls them over, and very loud, she screams, I gotta go to the bathroom. And he says, well, we're getting ready to take off. If you don't mind, we'll take off, and then I'll come back and take you into the bathroom. And she says, good. She screams this. She says, good, because I'm feeling a turd getting ready to drop. Oh, what was that? Huh? All over the plane, as loud as she could. These guys didn't know what to do. I mean, it was pretty disgusting. I've seen some things in my day, but gee.
Sorry for everything. Sorry for everything.
Well, that's about it for this episode of Betty and the Sky with the Suitcase. I hope I didn't offend anyone, especially any priests, archaeologists, or Appalachians. And I hope you'll join me again next time so we can travel the world together. Thanks, bye.
I took you for granted. I put it on cruise control. How could I have been such a fool?